All right, good morning. Wow. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Someone's excited to be here. No, it's exciting. I'm excited about our class today. We are in lesson 4 of our Parenting God's Way series, and I'd like to review and all of that, but really, I have, as I was writing the lesson, it just got like longer and longer. And so I really bad want to see if we can get through the whole class, but that's not as important as I say every time. Getting through the lesson is not as important as you understanding the lesson. So if at any point you're totally lost, please, please, please stop me. Don't feel like you're interrupting. I want you to stop me and ask questions. It'd be a big help, okay? But so we're going to be in lesson 4 today, which is parenting goals. And everyone has a lesson, so I think we're ready to start. And so if you would take your Bible, we'll start with 1 Corinthians 10:31, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:31. We'll read that, and that'll get us going in our lesson today. And I apologize, I didn't tell you guys last week which chapters to read. If you're doing that, Miss Rachel texted me, so she got the chapters. But it's the two chapters right after the ones we just did, which are both dealing with goals, okay? And I looked at the two chapters, and I was like, why do you make these two chapters? They go together. And now I know why, because it's like, woo, getting really long, okay? But with God's help, I think we'll be able to understand what the point is of this verse here and how it applies to parenting. And it's really fundamental to what we're doing, okay? And so 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll be looking at verse 31, where Paul says this. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all. So pause. Everything we do, why are we doing it? What's the main goal? That's really what we're looking at, right? Parenting goals. What's the main goal? Here it is. All to the glory of God. What we do is for God's glory. And we're going to deal with this deeper in the middle of the lesson. But the purpose of all of mankind, your purpose this morning, as a parent, but as a person, because you exist, your purpose is to glorify God. People are always wondering, what's my purpose? Why am I here? You know, that's a fundamental question, and that's a good question. Here's why: to glorify God. However that looks, whatever stage of life you're in, as a parent, there's a way to glorify God as a parent. But the reason this works in our class and what we're dealing with today is, what is your children's goals? What's the purpose of your child? What do you want to see him be when he grows up? And I'm giving you a lot up front, I hope it doesn't ruin the way the lesson was written, but it's important. Here's what the purpose for your children is: to glorify God. And that's very broad, but it's not just broad. It's also, it does affect, the reason that it's good that it's broad is that it affects every facet of your child's life, and it affects the direction that we have for our children. So we're going to be dealing with parenting goals today. We'll pray and we'll get right into our lesson. God, thank you so much for this great day we've already had in your house. Thank you for the kids that we have and just the blessing that they are. Pray that you continue to bless them. And Lord, even now as they're in their Sunday school classes, I pray that you would, Lord, be with the teachers and the helpers and help them to impart your word to these children. Help them to see the reality of you and, Lord, that they are accountable to you, and Lord, they are to live to please and glorify you, and in that they'll find their purpose and true happiness and fulfillment. I pray that you help the teachers with that and the children to understand. But Lord, I pray today that you be with us in our class. Help me to be a good teacher and help me to be clear and understandable as we deal with this issue of goals for our children. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Okay, so introduction. We're just going to jump right into our lesson, and again, this is one of those introductions that's long and would take a lot of space, and I really felt it would be better to break it up this way, and so this is our introduction, but it looks like the body of our lesson, okay? But here's what we're dealing with today. Letter A is parents must clarify. The blank is clarify. Parents must clarify their goals and objectives when it comes to parenting. Well, what do you mean? Well, letter B kind of explains what I mean. Whether or not we can articulate our goals, every parent has goals that drives the way they parent their children, okay? Sometimes we don't think about it. We don't clarify. We don't really consider what it is that we want for our children to be. We don't consider where we want our children to end up. We don't consider what we want our children to look like in 5 or 10 years. We don't think about that too much, but we do have those intuitively. Whether they're somebody else's goals for our children and we just want to please others and have our kids do and fulfill other people's goals, or it just turns into some goals we're going to deal with today. That when we say them, you're like, yeah, I think that's probably what my drive was. But whenever you make decisions for your children, it's not as flippant as what you might think. It's based upon goals that we have established in our minds that if we don't clarify them, often are not the goal that God wants for our children. They become other goals. And I'll just give you a few. Self-esteem, education, special abilities, and things like that become our goals, and then they become the most important thing. So if we don't clarify them, it's gonna be hard to know how to make decisions and what is the result of those decisions. So we have to clarify our goals for our children. And so letter C in the end, if you want a lesson, we can get you one. Right over there, and a pen is right there as well. Welcome. I don't want to embarrass you, but here we are. Here we are. Glad you're here. Letter C, in the end, what most parents want for their children is this, for them to be successful. I think we can agree on that. Whatever our goal is, it lines up with what it takes for our children to be successful. And so we want our children to be successful, we want them to be happy. I think if we were to generalize it, that's in the end what we want as parents, hopefully, unless you just don't care about your kids at all and they can just do whatever. But usually, if a parent that cares and that loves their children and is concerned about their job as parents, which I would say classifies you here this morning, wanting to learn what it is to parent God's way, that's what we want. Parents want for their children to do well. However we define success, we want that for our children. Parents also realize that a child's upbringing has an impact on their ability to be successful. So what we want for our children is for them to grow up and be adults, and when they're adults, we want them to be successful. And parents usually understand that a big part of their success or not success hinges on how they were raised. Now, it's not the end all, and there's a whole chapter we didn't deal with talking about influences in a child's life and the way they're brought up, and it does affect where they go, but we also know this, that children also have to make their own decisions. So you raise a child a certain way, it doesn't guarantee a certain outcome for your children. They have to make their own decisions as well. And it's not like if someone has a poor upbringing, they're not doomed for failure. We understand that. But on the flip side, if someone's raised exactly how God tells them to be raised, it doesn't mean they're automatically going to be godly, you know, adults when they become adults. It doesn't guarantee that, but it does help, obviously. And so we understand that. The way we raise our kids does help them. It does point them in the proper direction. And so it does affect how we parent our children. And so number four, so the question is not whether a parent wants their child to be successful and do well. If that was the question, then we need to write a different lesson about caring for your children, okay? But I think most parents, it's just in them to love and care and want their children to do well. And there's no question about that. Here's the question that we need to deal with, letter D. The question is what the parent defines as success, and then how to help their child achieve whatever that success is. Does that make sense before we move on? Are we on the same page here? And so there are several ways that parents define success for their children, and these become parenting goals, right? What's a goal at all? A goal is you have a mark that you want for your children to meet. And that mark, whatever that is whatever we define success to be. That's how this works. Okay? And so there's an entire industry trying to help parents understand what success looks like for children and how to achieve success in life. And there's a whole culture out there. There are books, there are magazines, but more than that, it's just the way our culture works, and it's inbred into even the media that we consume and the movies we watch and the music we listen to and the commercials that are there, that our society has a way to define success. Experts in psychology education, athletics, and motivation had developed countless books and programs aimed at helping children to make them successful. Okay? Helping to make children successful. In this lesson, we're going to examine some goals that parents have for their children. We're going to examine them, these goals in light of Scripture, and then explain how God says that a child can be truly successful. Okay? So that's what we're going to deal with today. Okay, so number two is this. Common goals. These are some common goals. Now, again, whether you could articulate these, most parents haven't really thought about it to really articulate what is really my goal for my children. But most of the time, it falls into one of these, or maybe several of these different goals that are pretty common, okay? Letter A is this, developing special skills. Developing special skills. Some parents measure the success of their children based upon the skills that they have developed. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know these parents because they hustle their children to baseball, to football, to hockey, to soccer, to gymnastics, swimming, dance class, piano lessons, and it's like they get out of school and then they do practices and lessons and stuff, and then they get home and they go to sleep. That's pretty much the life. And I'm not necessarily saying any, by the way, I want to say this up front. I'm not saying necessarily that any of these are bad. Like, they're going to ruin your children if you do these things. What I am telling you is these are some goals that parents have, okay? And you'll understand by the time we get to the end of our lesson here. So, again, well, it's right here. These skills are not evil and may have a place in your children's lives. But here's the question. Is the measure of their success the number of skills that they have developed? And I think we sometimes have to answer that question. Are we truly measuring the success or failure of our children based upon how many skills they have, based upon how good they are at a certain thing? Does the true success of the child depend on your child having these special skills? What do you mean? Well, if we don't have these skills, are they going to fail? That's the question, right? And this is the question we're answering. What does success look like for our children? Often, parents explain that skills like this help their child's self-worth, makes them feel good about themselves. Here's just an honest question, and not meant to be ugly, but here's the question. Is there any passages of Scripture that make the development of self-worth a biblical goal? Can you point to a Scripture that says, to be successful, you need to feel really good about yourself? I would just contend the opposite. To be successful biblically is to understand that we are not worth anything except for what God has given us as worth. All of us have failed and we're deserving of God's wrath. That's really important for us to understand. None of us are worthy of really anything. So self-worth is kind of one of those goals that becomes shallow, okay? And then whenever we talk about that as well, let's keep reading. We should be more concerned with our children having an accurate sense of themselves before God. What is their standing before God? But often it's what is their standing with other children. In the end, that's kind of what it is, right? They're better at this skill than a lot of other kids, so they're doing well. Isn't that kind of how we define success oftentimes? But really, we should be more concerned with our children understanding their place and their sense of themselves in light of God, because that's the reality. God's the reality, and God's the eternal standard. And so we need to find out what our sense of worth is in light of God, and not with other kids. And here's a really important statement too. The worth of a child is not based upon their ability to develop physical skill or mental skill or emotional skill. Their worth, their worthiness as people is not based upon their skill level. You see? And so when we say that we need to teach our kids these skills so they can have self-worth, what we're doing is we're teaching our children that they are unworthy unless they have certain skills. And they are worthy because they have certain skills. Are you following? And we're not saying it's bad for them to develop these skills and they could be helpful in life, but we cannot make this their goal. You see? What we do is we develop either very self-conscious and kids that feel like they're never going to measure up because they'll never meet their parents' standards of skill level, or we develop kids that are very proud to say, I got this skill down, and I'm better than most kids at whatever it is, and so I'm pretty good. and we develop a pride. And because it's their worth, we have to help our kids understand their worth, their worthiness as a human being has nothing to do with their skill level, you see, in anything, really. A biblical worldview dictates that you should teach your children to exercise and care for their bodies as an expression of stewardship for the gifts God has given them. And so, you know, using athletics and using this, and we're going to talk more about this, and I'll just give it to you up front. We're going to deal with these goals. Then we're going to teach what is the biblical ultimate goal. And then we're going to reevaluate these goals in light of that. And how, and these things can have their place, but we just can't make them the ultimate goal, you see. They need to be subservient to what is the ultimate goal, which we already gave it away, is to glorify God. Okay? We'll talk more about that in a second. Another goal that parents sometimes have is this, psychological adjustment. I almost had you write the word psychological, but we'd spend like half of our lesson spelling that. Okay? So I gave it there right for you. I have it right here too, so it would have been easy. But other parents make psychological goals supreme. They read books and magazines about how to build self-esteem in their children. Some child psychologists offer strategies to your children about how to be effective with people. And in the end, when you read those books and if you deal with them honestly, is just manipulation tactics. How to get people to like you and get what you want out of them. In the end is what we're dealing and teaching our kids to do. And we tell them, if you act this way, then you're not going to get what you want. And if you act this way, then you will get what you want. And so we manipulate. That's kind of what we teach our children. Other experts promise to teach you how not to spoil your child. And so parents buy these books by the millions, and the goal is their psychological health in the way that our society views psychological health. And so the question has to be asked, what passages of Scripture point us to those goals? Where in the Bible does it say that you need to have a really good self-esteem, or you have to be able to manipulate people and get what you want out of them, or you need, and on it goes. There's no real scriptural reason for those goals. Okay, letter C. Although, by the way, there's a way to deal with that, and we'll talk about it in a second. Letter C is this: well-behaved children. A goal, and this one I think is one of the most common of the parenting goals. That we want children that are well-behaved. They give into the pressure to raise well-behaved kids. We teach them poise to carry a conversation, other social graces, so they're not extra weird, okay? Don't be weird, okay? Look at your kids, just don't be weird. And I appreciate that goal. There's a real good place for that goal. And honestly, biblically, there is a good place for that goal. But that cannot be the ultimate goal for our children. We teach them to make guests comfortable. So whenever we have guests over, that we're not embarrassed by our kids. You know, this is a goal we have. We know that these skills are necessary to be successful in our world. And so not only does it help us to not be embarrassed by our kids, but it'll help them to not embarrass themselves when they become adults and they're in the workplace and they're not being creepy and strange and they'll keep their job. Yeah, we tell them these things to our kids. Just don't be weird, okay? And have social graces and have good manners. And having well-behaved children is not at all a bad thing. And I don't want to tell you that. You shouldn't care if your kids have manners. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it is an unworthy goal, you see. It's an unworthy end to the means that we're having our children accomplish here. This is a great secondary benefit to biblical parenting, but it is an unworthy goal all by itself. Here's the main point here. You cannot raise your children based upon what pleases others. You see? And I think in the end, that's where we get with that goal, is we just want to please others. We don't want others to look at us weird. And so whatever it takes for our society to see our children and not be embarrassed, then that's what we want. And in the end, that's kind of where it boils to. And when being well-mannered, here's really important, and I think we might talk about more this later in our lesson, but when being well-mannered is separated from its biblical roots of servanthood, manners become just a classy form of manipulation. Right? And we said this a little bit before with how to be effective with people and the psychological part, but here's what they do on page 3 at the top. Children will learn how to use good manners to get what they want from others instead of as a way to serve others. You see? And the goal is the point here. Okay? It was our goal so that our children can get what they want, and really so we can give what we want from others, the respect from others, and others to come back to our house someday. Is this what we want? Or is it because we truly care about and considering others? And we'll talk more about that. Okay? Letter D, another goal is good education. I almost put more gooder education, but I didn't. Good education. And a lot of parents have that. Many parents make the ultimate goal for their children a good education. They work with their children for hours each night. Their goal is to see their child achieve academic awards and scholarly recognition. And they think if they graduate high school and they are recognized for their academics, then I have done my job as a parent. They're persuaded that academic achievement brings success. They'll even tell their children, hey, if you get good grades, you can have a good job, and this is their goal for their children. And unfortunately, here's the problem, is there are many who excel academically that have very little understanding about life. And we have to decide what's more important. And obviously, education's important, and it has its place, but its place is not the ultimate goal for our children, you see? This is what we're saying. All right, letter E, control. Now, control is the one goal that really has no place biblically, necessarily. Other parents have no noble goal at all. They simply want their children to mind, to behave, to be good, and to be nice. And there, I guess if you want to say there is a biblical mandate to require obedience, and so our last lesson deals with a biblical way to handle that. But a lot of parents, when they want control of their children, it has nothing to do with the well-being of their children. It has nothing to do with their children being where God wants them to be and in the circle. Remember the circle of safety? This is not in the mind of a parent who typically wants their kids just to mind and do what they say. They just want, here's what they want. They want children that are manageable. They want children that do what they say and don't give them hassle. The bottom line is they want control of their children. The problem is control is not directed toward character development. It is rooted in personal convenience and public appearance. And this kind of bleeds into the good manners and all this, and it's because we just want children who just listen. And it's convenient for us that if our children listen. And if our children don't listen, it's inconvenient for us. But none of it is geared toward what God wants or what God requires of us as parents or what God requires of them as children. It's really all about making our life a little bit easier. And it's rooted in the success of the parent rather than the success of the child. You see? Yeah. Okay, so these are some goals that are common. It's not exhaustive. There are other goals, but I think this encompasses most of the goals that parents have, okay? So letter three, the biblical goal. We're going to get to what the Bible says. The biblical goal for parenting. And there are so many areas in life where children need direction. Because that's what a goal is, right? It's the end mark that we direct our kids to. If you think about like a soccer game and you have two goals, right? You have soccer goals. And what's the point? You want to direct that ball to where it lands in the goal. And so you need to have an end in mind. You need to have what you want for your children. And again, whether we articulate it, we do have an end in mind, and it affects how we direct our children. The issue with the goals above, again, is not whether they are lawful or beneficial for Christians to pursue. And we're not necessarily saying those goals are bad in themselves. The issue is whether they are adequate as ultimate goals. Are they the end game? If you meet these goals, is everything good? If your child has a good education, is that all you need, right? Is that the main thing that you want for your child? If your children are well-mannered and well-behaved, have you succeeded as a parent? Or are there some other considerations to take in place? If your kids are really good at sports or piano or swimming or whatever it is, and they have these skills and they graduate from high school with skills that you feel are required for life and for them to be successful, have you succeeded as a parent? That's the questions we're asking. Are these good ultimate goals? Are these the good end posts for your children and really for your parenting? The issue is if they are adequate. What goal is broad enough and flexible enough to encompass every stage of a child's development. And again, we gave it to you up front, and we're going to read 1 Corinthians 10:31 again. It's right here in our notes when Paul said, whether therefore ye eat or drink, and you say that next phrase with me, or whatsoever ye do, anything you do needs to be subservient to this main goal, which is to do all for the glory of God. And that's the blank, glory of God. That is the goal. That needs to be the goal. The ultimate goal of mankind is to glorify God. Yep. Everything we do, the ultimate goal should be the glory of God. The ultimate goal for your child as a human being is the glory of God. And so, here it is. For our children to be successful, here's all they need to do. They need to glorify God. However that looks, that's what your child needs to be successful. This is the biblical definition of success as a human. And we can, listen, we can teach our children to have to be the smartest kids, and they can be valedictorian, but if you can talk to some valedictorians that are pretty shallow and unfulfilled, and they don't have any place in their life, and you might say, what are you talking about? They're doctors or lawyers or whatever. But if you talk to them one-on-one by themselves, they know they're missing something. And here's what they're missing, their purpose, which is to glorify God. This is our purpose. And this is your child's purpose. This is why we were created. And until we, and listen, until our lives are glorifying to God, we will constantly and forever feel like we're missing something and unfulfilled. Yeah. Because this is our purpose. This is what we are created for, the glory of God. Letter C. From their earliest days, that's the blank, earliest, E-A-R-L-I-E-S-T. E-A-R-L-I-E-S-T. From their earliest days, our children must be taught that they are creatures made in the image of God and made for God. That is fundamental for our children to understand. They must learn that they will only find themselves. And I put that in quotes because that's what we want our children to do. Find yourself and find your purpose. They will only find themselves as they find God. They must understand that their self-worth comes from how much God loves them and how much they are worth to Him. When we make our children's self-worth based upon what they achieve or what others think of them, then they're going to always feel unworthy. But when they understand how much they mean to God, by the way, who's the only one that matters, then their self-worth will be where it needs to be, you see? Your child must grow to love the Lord and understand that real living is experienced when he stands before God and says, like it says in Psalms, "Who have I in heaven but thee, and there is none on earth that I desire beside thee." And I didn't put the quote there. I can get that to you later. That's in the Psalms. I don't know why I didn't write the quote in. I meant to. But that is biblical success. This is the main goal. This is the only way your child will be exactly who they were meant to be. It's the ultimate biblical goal for your child. And so if this is what you truly desire for your child, then it needs to affect how you direct your child in their everyday life. And every goal that we set for our children, it must line up with this ultimate goal, which is to live for the glory of God. And I didn't deal with this a lot, but it helps if that's our goal for our lives. It does. And sometimes we get so infatuated with our children that we want them to do what God wants, but it's going to be hard to get our children to do what God wants them to do if we have not made the glory of God our goal, you see. And that's a big help. But it is the ultimate goal for your child. So number four is this, mixed signals, M-I-X-E-D, mixed signals. Unfortunately, many parents have not come to the realization that the ultimate goal for their children is for them to glorify God. And again, I'm not throwing stones and I'm not trying to make people feel bad. But in the end, if we don't think about it, we don't come to this realization. It's not natural to our flesh. It's not something that just comes natural to us. We have to be taught this and understand this and put this in front of us every day because here's what our flesh wants. Our flesh is all about our own glory. That's what Adam and Eve, that's how Satan tempted Adam and Eve. He said, if you eat this fruit, you'll be like God. Well, what does that mean? You don't need God anymore. You can live for your own glory and forget about God's glory. And so our flesh, that's what we want. That's the essence of the sin nature, is that we're not going to think about living for the glory of God. It's a decision that we have to make, and we have to purposefully make that decision for ourselves and for our children, and it has to be taught to them. Often, glorifying God becomes a goal that is subservient to their ultimate goal for their children. Well, what do you mean? Well, if it's a choice between glorifying God or doing well in sports, we pick sports over God. I'm not being mean, but that's often what we do. Or sometimes a child is taught to obey, to perform for the approval of others instead of the approval and glory of God. And so when we teach our kids to have good manners, we aren't thinking about what God wants for them and obedience to their parents and being a servant for the Lord. Instead, we're thinking, what do other people think? And the reason I know that is because if we're in front of people who we care what they think, then we want our kids to do right and obey and have good manners. But if we're all by ourselves, then at home, then our kids can do whatever they want, you see. And it has nothing, but God demands obedience all the time. This is God's standard, is for children to obey and be respectful at all times. And so we should have that goal for our children, not just to perform for others, you see. Another example is the advice we give to our children when they're confronted with an abusive child at school. When someone bullies them, what do we tell our children? We're going to deal with this, but there's a way we tell our children to deal with this that really has no root in Scripture. It just has something to do with what we feel our children need. And so we don't think about what God would have them do oftentimes. And we'll deal with that more. But here's the thing. Our goals for our children need to flow for the ultimate goal for them, which is to live for the glory of God and not the other way around. Here's what I mean is that we tell our children biblical things when it works for us. You see, like with the manners thing is the perfect example. When we're around people, we say, really, you should care about what others think and you should love others. And really, the Bible says you need to obey and be respectful. And we say that whenever we're around other people and we care what they think. And so really, our main goal is that our children don't embarrass us, you see. And then we use the godly goal to make that happen. And we kind of use God's authority then. But then when we're at home, we don't care if they obey or not, then we don't worry about it. But then when we're frustrated and we're at our wit's end, then we say, God says to obey. and here's what we do is we have our goal, what we really value and think is important, and then sometimes we use God as a part of that plan, you see? But it really needs to be opposite, where what God wants is what's important to us, and then because God demands our children to obey, then we should demand our children obey, you see? It has nothing to do with the circumstance. And because our God wants them to have good manners and to serve others and care about what other people think, then we want our children to care about what others think, but not because we don't want to be embarrassed, you see? So we just get them with the cart before the horse sometimes. And oftentimes it's on accident, because we're just not clarifying and keeping this goal in front of us, you see. Yeah. Letter B. Often, even parents who love the Lord don't keep a biblical worldview in front of their children. The blank there is biblical. The child thinks about God on Sundays or at church events, but at home, God is often not part of the decision making. And we don't usually ask, what does God want you to do in a situation or that situation? Usually it's like, okay, what do you feel like doing? Or, here's really, in the end, it's going to be easier for everybody if you do this or that. And not often is it what God wants at home. But then we talk about God at church and all that, but then at home, God's not really mentioned. We don't give God glory for things at home. We don't pray and ask, thank God for what he's given us often at home. And our children really only think about God on Sundays and Wednesdays or whatever church event we happen to be at. In our attempt to help our children adapt to a culture that does not know God, we present ways of solving life's problems that are not biblical. And as our children deal with problems at school, when they deal with problems between you and them even, when they deal with these issues of life, and we're at home, we often don't think about what God would have us do or God would have them do. We think about what the world says we ought to do, and we do that, you see. In effect, we train our children to think unbiblically. And here's the problem with that. It can be very confusing for our children because we train them to think and have the mindset of the world, but then we expect them to make godly decisions. And it's very confusing for our children, you see. It's a mixed signal. Does that make sense? Yeah. And I'm not just obviously getting on to you. This is something that we all do. And this is just a part of parenting oftentimes, and really it's a part of human life, that we need to purpose in our heart that we want to glorify God. And this obviously doesn't affect just parenting. This affects every area of our life. And if we don't have God in the forefront of our mind and glorifying Him with our life as our main objective, then we're going to start thinking worldly or just whatever we think is best. But we need to put God's glory first, and it'll affect everything. Okay? And parenting is a big part of it. Number five. So now we're going to consider goals in the light of the ultimate goal. Okay, so we're going to go back. We're going to backtrack here and look at these goals we talked about. And then we're going to analyze them in light of what we now know is the ultimate goal, okay, which is to glorify God. So letter A, again, developing special skills. Now, I don't have any blanks on these because I didn't know how far along we'd be. Okay, so you just have to listen. Do your best, okay? But a biblical worldview dictates that you should teach your children to exercise and care for the body that God has given them. Okay, so we said that already, and that's one of the main things. So get your kids in sports. Well, sports are helpful because your kids need to move. Okay, we're not going to have a farm anymore. You know, they're not going to go out there. Well, some of us do. but we're not going to just have our kids go and work all day and get physical exercise. They're going to be home reading reading's not the first one. Usually playing video games or TV or whatever it is that we do at home. They need to move. And so that's a good thing. Okay? Abilities should be developed because God has given them stewardship over special talents and abilities. God has given them talents. God has given them abilities, and it's good for them to develop those. And so whether that means in sports or piano lessons or swim lessons, and these things are good because God has given them abilities and talents, and they should learn to be good stewards of them and develop them and better what God has given them and use them. And there's nothing wrong with that either. Athletic abilities can be a valuable way of teaching unity and oneness, and you can learn how to put your goals aside for the sake of the team. And there's some benefits to that. And if you're a ball hog, you're not going to do well, you know. And things like that are good. These are not bad things. The development of these skills needs to be a part of glorifying God. Here's the important part: not at the expense of glorifying God. I'm not getting on a hobby horse at all here, but I think oftentimes we use sports as an excuse to not do what God wants us to do and not the other way around. I'm just saying, if there's a game on Sunday, Mila's not going. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but it's just not happening. They're not respecting God's day. I will be. They're going to be here, you know, because what's the goal? What I'm asking you is, what's the ultimate goal here? It's to glorify God. And just ask yourself, is God more glorified if they're at the church or if they're at the practice? But if practice is more important than the goal, then what we have to say we're communicating to our children is that this practice is more important. You don't need to go to church today. That's not as important as going to the game, you see. And I'm not trying to bring condemnation, but it just is the natural conclusion of the matter, is what are we teaching our children is most important to them? And they think, mommy and daddy thinks, I need to be at practice, you know. But here's what I'm saying is the ultimate goal is to glorify God, and these activities can play a role in that, but we cannot allow that for it to be swapped. Yep. So that's one. Letter B, psychological adjustment. What happens when your child's bullied? This is a good question because it's probably going to happen. Kids are mean. I don't know. I do know why. The sin nature's there, and they're selfish, and they want their way, and so kids are mean. And so often we teach our children to fight fire with fire, with stuff like this. Now, I don't want you to start the fight, but if someone else starts the fight, I want you to finish it. Right? We say things like that. I'm going to tell Mila that. We're going to teach her karate. But we say, I don't want you to start it, but I do want you to finish it. Sometimes parents teach their children to ignore the bully. To stay away, which is good advice in some ways. But is either of those responses found in Scripture? And that's the main thing, right? Because what's our goal? When our children's being bullied, what do we want? We want for them to glorify God. And so what do we ask? What does God want them to do? Well, in the biblical worldview, we teach our children to trust God in the face of unfair treatment. Romans 12, 17 through 21 tells us that the way to overcome evil is to do good and to not avenge ourselves, but instead entrust ourselves to a God who says this, and this is what it says in those passages, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. God is the one who will take care of them. If someone's mean to you, it's not the right thing is not to be mean back. We don't fight evil with more evil. We fight evil with good. And you might say, oh, that's just not going to work, and those kids are just going to keep doing it. Well, what's your goal? Is your goal for that child that is bullying your child to stop, or is your goal for your child to glorify God, you see? And it does affect our goals, doesn't it? Yeah. Jesus said in Luke 6, 27 to 28, here's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. He says, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. That's pretty pointed, isn't it? I mean, doesn't get any more clear than that. You're supposed to love them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. If they're saying mean things about you, here's what you do. You say nice things back. Isn't that what Jesus did, by the way? When Jesus was having his hair pulled out of his face on the cross and then nailed and whipped and beaten, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah. I'm glad that Jesus doesn't treat us like we treat others, because we'd be squashed out. We'd be obliterated before we were even born. Yeah. So not only are we not to fight back, but we are to do good, bless, pray for those who hate us, those who curse us, those who despitefully use us. And so you tell your children, if someone's bullying them, first of all, tell the adult so the adult knows, because it needs to be dealt with authority. And you're not the authority, okay? God will take care of them through the proper authorities. But here's what you do. You just be nice to them. You pray for them, and you trust God to take care of them. And, you know, you can tell them not to be in a situation where you're by themselves with them. That'd be wise, so they don't get hurt bad. But in the end, what we don't do is we don't just totally ignore it, and we don't fight back. Here's what we do. We pray for them. We still love them. And we're sad that they are the way that they are, and we pray for them, and we do right. And that's how we could possibly even reach them. 1 Peter 2:23 tells us to face injustice without retaliation and trusting ourselves to God. And that principle, we can just list verse after verse after verse, if that's what God wants from us. And we give this counsel because the ultimate goal we have for our children is for them to love God and glorify Him. And the reason I said that is because this counsel makes no sense otherwise. With any of the other goals, there's no reason to do that. If we want for our children's success, for them to be happy, and for them to have their psychological adjustment, whatever that means, then we don't care about that other kid. That other kid can wreck their lives for all we care. Who cares about them? You get your kid where they need to be, and you don't worry about anything else. But God says we need to still love that kid, and we need to do right, and we need to do good. Listen, we need to do good even when it doesn't, quote unquote, benefit us, you see. Yeah. So our children need to learn to trust God and His word even in difficult situations like this. Okay, let us see. Well-behaved children. Again, that's a goal that we have. And manners are not to be used as an elaborate way to manipulate people to get what you want. And that's oftentimes where eventually we communicate to our children about manners. If you act a certain way, people will like you, and you'll get what you want out of them, you see. In a biblical worldview, manners are an expression and application of loving your neighbor as yourself. Here's what we need to tell our children. You need to act this way because if you act annoying, you're not considering the other person. That's different, isn't it? Because you care about that other person, you're supposed to love that other person as much as you love yourself. And so even if you want to be annoying, you shouldn't be, because you need to place their needs above your needs and not be annoying, you see? And we get to the same goal, I mean the same point, but with a different goal, you see? It is to imitate Christ's self-giving love for others. Jesus became a human being not because it benefited him, but because it benefited us. You see? Jesus washed the feet of his apostles and told them to do the same because this is what he wants for us, is to consider others more than ourselves. Please and thank you are supposed to be rooted in what it means to consider the interests of others. Why do you say please? Well, you say please because what you're saying is, when I say please, I mean I'm considering what you want. Can I have this, please? Meaning, you know, I know that maybe this is inconvenient for you, but would you please help me? Instead of, I want this now. But usually we say, they say that to us, and then we say, well, you say please. I want this now, please. Okay. And then it becomes, again, a manipulation. But what they're not doing is considering anybody but themselves. And thank you is the same. Thank you is, hey, I consider that you have done something that you didn't have to do, and I'm thankful. Thank you. That's how it should be rooted, you see? Considering others. Waiting to eat until all are served is a way of showing consideration for those around you. And again, these aren't manners that you have to do. They're just different manners. But manners need to be rooted in considering others above yourself. Otherwise, it just becomes a manipulation tactic. Paul said this about Timothy, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. That your children need to develop within them a skill of naturally caring for other people. Yeah. Okay, good education. Are grades a good biblical objective? We'll just ask the question biblically. What scripture is pointed that gives good grades as a goal? Often parents will say something like, if you work hard, you'll be able to get a good job and you'll make a lot of money when you grow up. And that's really the end of our goal, right? You get good grades and then you'll have a better job. And that's really how we tell our children. The Bible does promise that the faithful will be rewarded. And if you do your work, you'll be rewarded. And that's good, but that's not a worthy goal, okay? Grades should not be the most important part of an education. What do you mean? Some children achieve A's with no effort, and they don't have to be diligent, and they don't have to really work hard to get an A. And some kids struggle hard, and they do their work, and they are diligent, and they get a C. We need to commend the one that's working hard to get his C and not commend the one who's being lazy but still gets an A. You see? What's important is that your child learn to do his work diligently, honestly. Hey, there's a way to get an A without being honest. And faithfully. Do your work. A child learns to do their work diligently and faithfully. And I tell kids this when we did homeschool and I would deal with kids and they didn't want to work. I said, look, here's a skill you're learning. To do what you're supposed to do even when you don't really want to. You know? And that's something that education helps them to do too. To do what they need to do even if they don't really want to do it. It's a skill. And these are all these things point to the glory of God and not just you'll maybe eventually get a good job. And they can, if they cheat their way and get A's and no one finds out, that will get them a better job than if they do it honestly and get C's. Yeah. Conclusion. We'll finish up. Closing thoughts. With some questions to ask and to consider before we close here. How do you define success? This is a good question to find that out. How would your child complete this sentence? What mom and dad wants for me is this. What would your child say there? Because it says a lot about our goals, doesn't it? If your child does not say, what mom and dad wants for me is to glorify God, then there might be a problem. Maybe your kids just aren't paying attention. That's good. That's a good point too. But how would they complete that sentence? What makes you tick? What would you say drives you day by day? What do you fear and love and feel anxious about? What are the values taught in your home? How are you affected by the culture around you? How has that affected the goals for your children? Do you consider the ultimate goal for your life, to bring glory to God? And lastly, are the spoken and unspoken rules of your family life consistent with true spirituality, which is this, living for the glory of God? And that needs to be our goal. So now, next time, we're really going to get into the meat. We're going to get into methods. We're going to get, okay, all right, Brother Chad, you've said enough about thinking and goals and blah, 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 Brother Chad. What do I do? Okay? And that's what we'll get into next week, okay? But we can't talk about what we do until we understand why we do what we do. Okay? So next week, we're going to get into methods of parenting. Let's pray, and we'll let you go. I'm a little bit late. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for giving us, Lord, the way that we ought to raise children and care for them and love them. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be the parents you want us to be. But more than that, God, help us to be the Christians you want us to be. Help us to be the people you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to make glorifying you our goal in life and find true fulfillment and joy and peace. And Lord, whatever everything that we say we want really stems from our decision to make you and your glory our goal. Help us to do that, Lord. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.